And our New Testament passage comes from the 15th chapter of Matthew. And it's an interesting pericope that came up in the lectionary because there are actually two big topics going on here. It's not just what I call a one-hit wonder, where you read a passage of Scripture and you kind of get the point. There are two pieces, and I struggle because I'm like, you know, these are two different things. Jesus is teaching and then Jesus is doing. And typically when this happens, there is a correlation between the two. So I want you, as you hear this Scripture passage read, I want you to be looking. And if you don't find the correlation, I'm going to share with you the correlation. So don't think that you have to answer this question. I'm going to help answer it for you. But I've learned through my study of Scripture that Jesus is one where He will teach and then He will demonstrate. A good example of this is in the third chapter of John. Jesus is teaching His disciples. He's teaching Nicodemus. He's telling them how it is to be born again and how it is to have life everlasting. And then we get into the fourth chapter of John where Jesus is showing His disciples exactly how to play that out. So in here, in this pericope today, we see, and you will see, how Jesus teaches His disciples, but then He shows them exactly what it means to do what He taught. So we're in the 15th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 10th verse. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. "Listen," He said, "and try to understand. It is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth." Then the disciples came to Him and asked, "Do you realize that you offended the Pharisees by what you have just said?" Jesus replied, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind, and if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch." Then Peter said to Jesus, "Explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat." "Don't you understand me?" Jesus asked. "Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you." Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to Him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then His disciples urged Him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped Him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come into these moments and gather around your word and know that it is there to teach us. Thank you that you sent your son who showed us what it is to be a follower. And thank you for your spirit that flows through each and every one of us. May it illuminate the words this morning. May it show us what it is that we are to do. May it instruct us in the ways that we are to go. And may it encourage us to do just that. All this we lift up in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we all say, amen. So how many times have you heard this phrase growing up? You are what you eat. And I used to think that that was kind of crazy because, you know, if I eat an apple, I don't turn into an apple. Or if I eat a steak, I don't turn into a cow. But then I was listening to the radio this past week and they were talking about a study that they did. And they found that what men eat influences how women see them. Or actually, it influences how women are attracted to them. And of course, when I heard this, it piqued my interest. I mean, not that I need to be worried about that because, you know, I'm already married and have children. But, you know, I wanted to say, what's going on here? This is kind of interesting. I really wanted to know exactly what does one have to eat in order to be found attractive to the opposite sex? So if you're wanting to know what it is, gentlemen, if you eat more of a vegetarian diet, it makes you more attractive. That was what they found in this study. They found that if you ate a diet high in cholesterol and saturated fats and all the bad stuff, it made you less attractive. That's what the scientists say. I haven't gone out to try and prove it. You know. But then they said, well, what about those that eat a bunch of meat? And they're like, well, if you eat a bunch of meat, it really makes no difference at all. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But it got me to thinking because, you know, I heard this story after I read this scripture passage. And did you catch what Jesus was talking about? You know, there's a book that I remember reading not too long ago because I thought it was really cool. It's a children's book called Everybody Poops. How many of you have heard of that? I don't want to say it, show of hands, but there is a book out there called Everybody Poops. And so when I was reading the scripture passage, I'm thinking about, okay, Jesus is talking about what you eat. And then he talks about, you know, going to the bathroom. He tells his disciples that, you know, what you eat goes in you and out you and into the sewer. And I'm like, wow, you know, Jesus is getting a little upfront with his disciples, but he's doing it to make a point. Because you see, Jesus is teaching his disciples something that I think we need to learn. We need to learn as believers. And it's not about what you eat and what you don't eat. I think it's about what you put your focus on. Because that whole adage of you are what you eat, I think Jesus is saying it's not about what you eat. You are what you speak, not what you eat. It's not about what you consume, but it's about what you communicate that determines whether or not you're clean or defiled. Because you see, all the rage back then was what you could eat and could not eat. You know, they had 600 and some odd laws in the Jewish custom, and most of those had to do with what you were to eat and not eat, or how you were to prepare the food that you were to eat, and how this, that, and the other. And Jesus is saying, whoa, don't worry about that. It's not about what you eat that defiles you. It's about what you speak that defiles you. And you want to know why it got the Pharisees a little hot under the collar? Because basically he stripped away their entire theology and basically said, you know, you tell people that because they ate this of an unclean animal that they are now unclean and can't go to the temple. You are separating them from God by what they eat. But you don't realize because of what you're saying, you are actually the one who is defiled. Think about that for a second. Because how often do we see in our popular culture today where believers will stand up and tell other believers why they're not going to heaven? And they will point out, well, because you did this or because you did that, you don't get to go to heaven. But Jesus is going, wait, whoa, back up the bus here. Because what you communicate is what you are. What you say, what comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. Now, I could leave it right there, but I'm a bit of a nerd. Because I know that, you know, what you say is the output end of a computer. Your brain is this computer that can process. You know, I also was listening to a podcast, and in case you want to know, you can process 10 decisions a second on average. So think about that. Now, most computers can do thousands of times that. So don't think you're going to be able to outthink a computer. But you can process up to 10 things a second. So this computer processes stuff. And I learned when I was learning how to program computers, have you ever heard of GIGO? GIGO? G-I-G-O? Garbage in, garbage out. So Jesus is basically saying to them, you know, it's not about what you put into your body, because what you put into your body, you poop out and that goes into the sewer. It's what you put into your brain, because what you put into your brain comes out of your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth is what defiles you. And I want you to think about that for a second. What are you putting into your brain? Think about, if I were to ask, in the course of a day, when you're absorbing information, Where are you absorbing the majority of your information from? And I think we would all be a little embarrassed. Because I know that there are folks that when they wake up in the morning, they turn on the TV to one channel and they leave it on that channel all day. That is where they get their information. Or they turn their radio onto one station and they listen to that radio station all day. Or they pull up the internet and they put it on a particular website and they watch that website all day. If I were to ask you to pull out your phones and if I could put an app on there that said, which app do you access the most? I guarantee you, we'd probably be a little embarrassed to share with the others which app we click on the most and say that's where we're getting our information. We are feeding our brains with stuff during the day, and I would say for the most part, it's probably garbage. So if you're putting garbage in, guess what's going to come out? Because think about this. You can only speak what you have learned. You can't speak anything that you haven't learned. So for the most part, everything that you communicate to the world is because something, somehow, somebody or someone or something has communicated that to you. You know, or you have had that thought based on something that you have seen. You know, like, I don't like mushrooms. And why don't I like mushrooms? Because somebody didn't like something else. And I said, oh, great, I learned that I could not like a certain particular kind of food. So I picked mushrooms. So I say, I don't like mushrooms. But, you know, I mean, you learn that. If nobody ever said, if all I was surrounded by was people say, man, I love everything that gets put on my plate, I don't think I would have ever learned to not like mushrooms. Can you see that? I mean, think about this. I mean, I grew up in Texas. I learned to love Blue Bell ice cream, Sonics, and Whataburgers. And actually, ponchos, which I got to go to a ponchos yesterday. Amen, hallelujah. Been pining for one of those. Raise a little Mexican flag. They come out to you and bring you more food. It's heaven. But I wouldn't know that I like ponchos if I didn't learn how to like ponchos. And I'm sitting there eating yesterday and I'm thinking about, now I got to get up tomorrow and I got to preach a sermon on what goes in, comes out, garbage in, garbage out. And I'm eating a whole bunch of garbage. But it was good garbage. But Jesus is sharing with his disciples, what you put in your brain is what comes out of your mouth. Think about this for a second. Imagine, if you will, if all we were putting into our brains was good things. Because, you know, you go to the doctor and the doctor says you need to eat healthy. You know, eat more fiber. You know, eat more vegetables. Don't eat chocolate. Don't eat carbs. Don't eat fat. You know, all that stuff. You know, we're told if you put good stuff in your body, good things happen, right? Well, if you put good stuff into your minds, good things happen. Think about that for a second. If you're filling your minds with good stuff happens. And Jesus is telling his disciples that it doesn't, you know, that you can touch something unclean and that's not what defiles you. But you can say something bad to your brother and that's what defiles you. Think about this. How many of you have a hatred for somebody because of what they eat or don't eat? I don't think there's very many of you. But how many of you have a hatred towards somebody for what they have said? Or how many people have hated you because of what you have said? And then think about, where did that come from? Because Jesus is saying, what you say is what defiles you. Words have very strong actions. I can tell you from my own personal experience that the words that my father said 30 years ago still reverberate through my family today. And it's hard to undo that. What you say is very difficult to undo. If you eat something bad, guess where it goes? But you can't do that with your words. And Jesus is teaching his disciples this. And I'm like, okay, well, how do I learn? How do I apply this? How do I learn from this? Because I'm like, how do I bring to you the message today and show you and teach you what it is to put good stuff in your brain and get good stuff out? Because and to put the emphasis on what you say has a direct impact on who you are and what you do and how people react to you. But then I kept reading in this pericope. Because this woman comes to Jesus, this Gentile woman. Think about that for a second. The Gentiles were not in the inner fold at this time. There we go. I'm back. I was like, I'm saying I'm used to hearing myself, and then I don't hear myself. But at this time during the Gospels, the Gentiles were considered the outsiders. The Jews hated the Gentiles. Those were the outsiders. Those were the foreigners. Those were the people that nobody liked. You know, Jesus got in a lot of trouble because he would go and hang out with Gentiles. People would say, how can Jesus go and hang out with those people? You remember that in the Bible? He hangs out with sinners and tax collectors? Well, we don't have really tax collectors, but take whatever label you want to put on somebody that you don't like and throw that label on Jesus, because that's who Jesus went to. Jesus went to the people that people hated. And so here this Gentile woman comes to Jesus and she says, my daughter is possessed and you need to heal her. And Jesus gives her the cold shoulder. Now, before you focus on that, I think Jesus did it for a reason. I think Jesus did it for a reason to teach his disciples a lesson, to show his disciples what it is. Because then when she asked again, you know, the disciples were like, hey, this send her away. How many times have you seen that in the Bible? You know, the woman that came up and touched the hem of his garment. What did the disciples want to do? Send her away. What did the disciples want to do whenever they felt that Jesus was getting cornered? They wanted to send them away. Say, let's go, Jesus. Come on. We want to keep you all to ourselves. And then Jesus teaches her. But Jesus is not telling her this, saying, I came to save the one that lost sheep of Israel. He's saying that because that's what the Jews believed. The Jews believed that the Messiah, that they had a lock on the Messiah, that the Messiah was only there for them. The Messiah wasn't there for anybody else. And here is this woman, by what she says, changes the whole paradigm. She says something to Jesus that teaches his disciples and that teaches us today. You know, because Jesus is like, hey, I'm here to give the good stuff to the good people. And she's like, but even the dogs eat the scraps from the table. Wow. And I asked myself this. She didn't say it if she didn't know it. She didn't say it if she didn't see that played out. She didn't say it if she didn't experience it. And Jesus is like, yeah. And because of your faith, your daughter has been healed. In one hand, she was very persistent. How many of you know people like that? That when they come to you and they want something and you give them the cold shoulder, they come to you again. And then you say, well, no, I'm too busy for this. And then they keep coming back. When I was growing up, I used to call it being a controlled nuisance. If you wanted something, you weren't overbearing, but you just made sure that they knew that you wanted it, so eventually you would get it. It's like if you want to get something from somebody, you would say, hey, man, I'd really like to do that. And they would say, well, no, you can't do that. Then you come back to them. But you don't do it so much that they slam the door in your face, but you just keep popping up from behind the dune and saying, hey, I'm here. This woman was doing this with Jesus. She was very controlled and she was persistent. She wanted to make sure that her daughter got healed. And Jesus used this to teach his disciples, because what he taught his disciples, and I'm a firm believer as I was reading this pericope, is that he taught his disciples that what comes out of your mouth makes a difference. Because she could have very easily have cursed Jesus. She could have very easily have said, well, I am not a Jew, and I don't like the fact that you're keeping all this for the Jews. And, shame on you, Jesus. I'm leaving. I'm going to go find somebody else. She basically continued to praise him and continued to worship him and said, even the dogs get the scraps. So just because you came here for the Jews, this Gentile here should be able to get some of the scraps that fall from the table. And Jesus said, your faith is amazing. How many times have we done that? How many times have we gone to Jesus and said, hey, look, you know, I know, but... Or how many times have we looked at others that have said, I know I'm not like you, but, you know, I know that I don't have what you have, but... And we kind of want to cast them away, but they're saying, you know, I am just as entitled to this as you are. How many times have we seen people that say, well, I know that I didn't grow up Presbyterian, but I'm here at a Presbyterian church. And sometimes we want to look down upon them because we're like, well, I grew up Presbyterian. How come you didn't grow up Presbyterian? Or we look at things and say, well, you know, you're not like me. You don't have a college education. You don't have this. You don't have that. And we want to look down upon them, not realizing that in this scripture passage, Jesus says even they are entitled to the gospel message, even if we don't think they are entitled to a seat at the table. Think about that for a second. That's what hit me like a ton of bricks the other day as I was preparing, is to say, here is somebody that according to the Jewish law was not worthy to walk into the synagogue. So think about that one person. I want you to put it in your mind. Think about that one person that you would say, if they were to walk through the doors of this church this morning, you would be uncomfortable that they walk through the doors of the church. You don't have to name names. You can think about, well, you know, somebody walks in and they look a certain way, or somebody walks in and they act a certain way, or somebody walks in and they say that they've done certain things or they haven't done certain things. Those ones that will make us feel very uncomfortable. Now imagine if you got an empty butt place next to you in that pew. Imagine if they sat right next to you. They sat right next to you and you're like, because in this message, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's saying, yeah, you don't think that she deserves to get the gospel that I came to proclaim. You don't think that she deserves to get the healing that I have been given while I've been here. You don't think that she deserves to be touched by Jesus. But guess what? I will heal her daughter too. It's a very powerful message. You know, we like to think that it comes later in the New Testament when we see the Gentiles getting to come into the fold. You know, we like to say it's not until Cornelius calls Jesus, but when Cornelius invites, I believe it's Peter over, and the disciples, and he preaches, and the Holy Ghost falls on them, and all these Gentiles are baptized, and we like to say that's the moment when the Gentiles get the gospel. But guess what? A Gentile got the gospel here. The woman at the well, a Gentile got the gospel. The woman that touched the hem of his garment, a Gentile got the gospel. Jesus is showing his disciples over and over and over and over and over and over and over again that all of those people that you think don't have any right to come before me, all those people you don't think that have any right to sit in the temple with you, all those people that you won't even go and sit in their own house, all those people that you walk to the other side of the street to avoid, guess what? I came for them too. Persistence pays. Jesus is constantly teaching his disciples over and 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 over again. So when I look at what's going on in the world these days, when I look at what's going on even in our own communities, and I look at what's going on even in our own churches, I ask ourselves, what are we putting into our computer that is causing this stuff to come out? What are we putting into our computer? Are we putting the right stuff into our minds? Are we putting the right stuff into between the left ear and the right ear so that we put the right stuff out? What are we putting up in here? Because I guarantee you that this woman, when she came to Jesus, was not putting bad stuff into her brain. I would almost think that she probably was a pretty good study of the Jewish text. She was probably a really good study of what was going on. She had to have some knowledge because she's like, I know you came for your people and they're at your table, but guess what? Even the dogs get to eat the scraps. So I ask you this, you know, just as we pulled out our Bibles today and we read the 133rd Psalm, how often do you pull out your Bible and you fill your brain with what's in that Bible? I want to ask you this. I'm not asking for a show of hands, because I think every hand would go up. But I would almost say that there is one app on your phone or one TV station or one station on your TV or one station on your radio that you listen to or engage more with than you engage with the in the beginning and the amen at the end. Do you agree? Imagine what it would be like if you engaged with your Bible on an equal footing or more than you engage with everything else that's out in the world. You want to know why we're getting what we're getting? It's because garbage in, garbage out. You want to know why our world's getting a little crazy these days? Because we're putting a lot of garbage in and we're getting a lot of garbage out. Imagine what it would be if you said, you know, I'm going to turn off that TV. I'm going to turn off the radio. I'm going to put down the cell phone. I'm going to pick up the Bible. Let's just start with this. You know that whole 10% thing I talk about all the time? 2 hours and 24 minutes a day, read your Bible. Just that, okay? Just 2 hours and 24 minutes a day. That's 10% of a day. Read your Bible and imagine what it would be like if you're putting goodness in. Because when you put goodness in, what comes out? Goodness. That G-I-G-O, that means you put God in, what do you get out? You put garbage in, you get garbage out. You put God in, you get God out. Jesus is showing his disciples this. Because I've always thought about, imagine if we approach the world that way. If we approach the world that way, not thinking about what we saw on the news, not thinking about what we heard on the radio, not thinking about what we heard from our friends, but thinking about what does the Bible say about this? What does Scripture say about this? What does Jesus say about this? Because I was convicted this week. I was convicted very heavily. Because here I am seeing Jesus engage with this woman that probably would not be accepted in most churches today. Think about this for a second. If somebody were to come in and say, my daughter is possessed and you need to help her, how many of us would actually stick around to try and help her? But guess what? Jesus says you're supposed to. Jesus says yes. She says yes. It's almost as though the Gentiles out there are screaming at us, saying we deserve to be there too. So why don't we open up the doors and allow them to be here? Why don't we open up our hearts and allow them to be here? Why don't we use what Jesus says and says the words come out and that's what defiles us. But if the words come out and they are healing words and they are kind words, then that's what builds up the body. Wow. You know, one of the things that amazed me this past week was just when you think that God doesn't have anything in store, God throws the world at you. Those of you that have heard some of the things, you know, I can't share too much of them and I don't want to share too much of them, but I will tell you that two people came across the door of our church that would normally have not been received by our church, and we ministered to them. They wandered in unannounced. They wandered in afraid. They wandered in lost. They wandered in not knowing what was going on, needing help. And instead of saying, well, not today, we were able to minister to them. And it wasn't just me. It was this congregation. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think that God puts the imagery before I even get up to preach the sermon. He calls us to go out there and to do that, to be the place where people can come running to and they get healed. Think about that for a second. Somebody said that, you know, that we should be that church. We should be that church where people can come running into and be healed and be safe and come running through our doors. And I'm going, you know, I probably wouldn't have done that. You know, there was a part of me that said, I don't know if I would be able to do that. But then there was a part of me that said, you know, my brain was saying, you know, that's what God calls you to do. And it was that scripture, this passage, this whole message playing out, that we are to put good things in our minds so that we have good things come out of our mouths, so that we do good things for the gospel. So I'm going to challenge you this week. When you look at what's going on in the world, don't look at it as a way to try and judge one person against another. Don't look at it as a way to judge one group against another. Don't use it as a way to judge one ideal against the other. When you hear yourself thinking that, turn it off and pull out your Bible. When you sit there and say, I don't like what I'm seeing on the news, I don't like what I see and what's going on in the country, I guarantee you, you'll like what you see and hear. And if you don't want to start at the beginning, just start at Matthew. Start in the Gospels. That's all good stuff. You know, read Acts, read Romans. You know, go through there. When you don't like what you're seeing out in the world and you think you don't know what you can do to change it, start changing you. Change what goes into your brain. Change what comes out of your mouth. Because that's what Jesus says, what comes out of your mouth defiles you. So make sure what comes out of your mouth doesn't defile you so that we can proclaim the gospel. Because in some ways, it's not about what we consume, it's about what we communicate. Amen? So what are you communicating to everybody that you meet when you go out those doors? I want you to think about that this week. I've been thinking about it a lot. Been thinking about, man, I shouldn't have cut that person off in traffic. You know, I got a Z88.3 bumper sticker on the back of my van. I shouldn't cut them off. But I want you to think about that, because that's who we are as a church. What we communicate to the world, what we do by the world. You know that song we just sang a little while ago? How will they know? It's in there, right? They will know that we are Christians by our love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and sing our hymn number 592, Jesus Calls Us. Seated.